Hello, everyone. Welcome. Good evening. How's everyone doing this evening? We don't need the answer, but thank you for being here.
We're doing great.
How about that? Today is the 28th of April. It is 7 o'clock on Tuesday, 2020. How about that? We're at 2020, and we keep on going, right? This evening, our invocation will be done by Pro Temp Mary Fast, and if you would please stand with me and remain standing as Councilmember Anita Bettencourt will do our flag salute.
I'm going to sit here because I have my little sermon. Our pastor this last Sunday talked about his sermon was Weighty Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T-Y, Weight, W-A-I-T. And just a brief note from his sermon, which probably just spoke really to me because I'm not one that likes to wait. Waiting is hard work. It's weary work. But do we ever stop to consider that waiting should be a welcomed work in our lives? As Christian people, we need to develop a waiting mindset and heart. As we walk with Jesus, we need to seek to become more like him. And may God give us our leaders, wisdom, patience, grace to make good decisions for our city, state, and our great USA in this most difficult time. And I wanted to read one of my favorite verses from the Bible is Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Can we pray, please? Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us this evening. Just give us wisdom, give us grace, and give us patience to get through this time. Amen.
Amen.
We join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Bettencourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Foligno.
Here.
Mayor Pignon.
Here. Move to approve the agenda.
So, Mayor, we have no changes to the agenda, but I will be a broken record for our council meetings to say that we are live streaming our council meetings. And so each agenda item that has a public comment period, we will need to wait for 60 to 90 seconds for that delay in streaming. So other than that, we can approve agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Very good. We move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the City Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Questions or concerns and complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public? Thank you. move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss that or change the recommended course of action. And the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received the unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Is there any items that the council wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove item 2 and 6, please.
If I could offer a suggestion, given the delay, maybe we could hold the approval of the remainder of the consent item, have items 2 and 6 addressed, and then just take a motion to do
all at one time.
Consent items at one time rather than doing three separate motions and three separate delays.
Sounds good.
So if staff wants to address items 2 and 6, and then we can have a motion to approve the entire consent agenda, offer up one public comment session, and then go from there.
Very good.
Sounds good.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, Sarah Reed, Community Services Department. How can I answer any questions you may have?
Okay, as we all know, school is not in session right now.
Correct.
So is this for like the summer? Because it says 2021, is this part of the summer session? Or is this starting in the fall for the next school year?
Starting in the fall for the next school year. So we did bring forward the summer agreements a meeting or two ago, and we have held those back, waiting on the decision from Kings Canyon. But this agreement before you tonight is for next school year. And they have asked that these move forward.
Okay, so as of now, there probably will not be summer programs?
Not sure. It's kind of been put on hold.
Thank you.
I will chime in that we just heard from the governor today that he is considering the state superintendent of instruction moving the school years up to make up for lost learning, so into July and August rather than waiting till late August. So it's very possible there won't be time for summer season because of that.
Interesting.
I have a question, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this program only at Washington? And not the other schools in town?
Save the Children is at 4 sites. So the city only has one of them, which is at Washington. But CYM also has it at Alta, and then I believe 2 in Orange Cove. But this is not on all sites. This is a literacy-based program, basically a supplement for the ACEs program that we have. It's a very structured day. So for the sites it's at, it works very well. Their day goes from one class to the other for literacy, very little time for enrichment, and then they go to homework, where some of your other programs have a lot more enrichment time because they don't have this component. So it's not at every site, and it's basically a support to what's already happening in after school.
Right.
Yeah.
That my next question was going to be whether CYM was connected in some way or form.
Yep, they have 3 of the sites, and we have the other one.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the council?
Thank you.
Number 6.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'm Mary Lou Morales. I'm the city engineer. How can I answer any of your questions regarding the SB1 project?
Okay. I am in favor of the I Street project. I travel that road a lot, and I know a lot of semi-trucks also do. But I did note that there's a vehicle impact fee included in this, and I was wondering if you knew the amount of that, and is that the amount from this last year, or?
Correct.
Explain that.
Yeah, so it's $150,000, and that was the same amount that was allocated in last year's budget with the phase one of the project. However, because the project is now being combined, I'm going to use the same money that was allocated last year, and it's rolling into this project.
So last year being 2019-20?
Correct.
2018-19?
2019-20.
20, okay.
Or this fiscal year, sorry.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
That's the only question I have.
It's going to be a big improvement for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And combining it will get us a better bang for our buck.
Exactly.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda items.
Second.
Very good. If there's any questions from the public, this is your time. You can call in.
Okay, and while Sylvia's hitting that button for our 60-second mark, I will remind people listening in, if they want to provide any public comment on this item, they may call 637-4200, extension 290.
Very good. We had no calls, apparently. I'd just like to say a couple words before we continue, if you don't mind. For the listeners and for the record, as you have heard, you have direction and information as to where you can call for questions or comments. There's opportunity for that to take place. We will make known necessary information so that you can do that. I want to personally thank you as listeners, you as my community, for your help and cooperation in staying true to the direction given by the city, by the state, and all the officials, the leadership from our state, city, and country. I am proud of all our merchants and residents, and I realize that to stay home for many is a sacrifice, a loss, and a much-needed income. However, we will overcome this. We will beat this pandemic and we will recover. That's what makes Reedley so unique, I believe. And I encourage us to continue praying, for it will pass. And we will be stronger, we will be wiser, and we will be Reedley. So I just encourage us to keep working. Don't give up. I just wanted to share that with you. Very good. We move on.
I have a motion and a second. So, Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Number 8, approve and authorize the city manager to sign an application for federal assistance SF-424 under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act for the Reedley Municipal Airport. Sarah Reed.
And right before Sarah gets going, I'm going to break her train of thought by saying you will notice tonight that all three items on the administrative business agenda are related to the coronavirus. At a certain point in time, we'd like to give you some additional information on what's going on there, and that may be during my reports and comments. But we specifically wanted to pull these items out so that our community could see what we are moving after, or the dollars that we're going after to get reimbursement and to really take advantage of everything that's out there. So that's why you see all three items here on the open agenda.
Thank you.
Good evening, Sarah Reed, Community Services Director. On March 27th, President Trump signed the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. This was put in place to assist airports during this epidemic. So the Federal Aviation Administration is administering the grants and assisting sponsored airports through the application process. The Reedley Airport qualifies for $30,000 to be used towards operation expenses. So the airport is being impacted by this crisis. There has been a decrease in activity at the airport and a drop in our fuel sales. And fuel sales is one of our main sources of revenue for the airport. So we are starting to see the impact. The annual open house and barbecue event, that is the one fundraiser we do a year, that has been postponed and may be canceled until next year. So that was another big hit. Those funds are used for beautification at the airport. So this grant has no financial impact to us. There's no match required. And we can use it for operations, which is what we desperately need it for. So staff is recommending to approve and authorize the city manager to sign an application for the federal assistance SF-424 under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act for the Reedley Municipal Airport.
I'm going to chime in one last thing. Sorry, Sarah, I did this to you before, and now I'm doing it
That
after.
Is okay.
just for our listening public, because we do know we have a few people listening in who are very keen on the financials, I want to make it very clear. The money can only be used at the airport. So this particular grant that's being provided to us cannot be used for any other items except at the airport.
What kind of percentage have we seen drop in fuel sales out there?
I was talking to our FBO, and we were very fortunate that PG&E was doing some helicopter line checks, and so that really helped our Jet A fuel. That has since ceased, so we haven't seen any sales in Jet A for the last couple of weeks. For our Avgas, it's probably dropped about 70% when we compared to what we sold last year and what we've sold this year. This is our big fuel selling time. In the spring is when pilots like to go out. So we are tracking that and providing that information to Caltrans, but when I talked to him last week and we just compared sales, it was about a 70% decrease. Yeah.
You know, these funding grants are available. I've always been in favor of it, but we're always very cautious about the amount that we have in matching funds.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a benefit to the airport, just like item number one benefit to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Yep, it's really going to impact the airport.
Yes, because if we don't get it, somebody else is going to enjoy it.
True.
Simple as that.
Yep.
Every bird gets a worm right there.
Exactly.
Any other questions from the council? We have any questions from... We could go to the next one, then ask the public? Is that what we're doing?
No, we'll take each one individually.
Okay. Any questions from the public?
And we probably have a lot of our commissioners listening in. They knew this item was coming before you.
Great.
Barbecue event, will that be postponed for the year?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, which one?
The barbecue.
Yes, the barbecue has been postponed. Right. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the fall. So when we have our next commission meeting, I put out to them, do we want to talk about having a fall event? There's already been some conversation that other airports and the other things are already kind of set in the fall. Our guest speaker did give me some dates she's available in the fall. Mm. So we'll just kind of see what the wishes are. They know the circuit. They know what aviation things are happening at that time. So I really look to them. That's why they like the date we have, because they've coordinated around other things. So we'll just kind of see what their desire is.
That was an interesting event, mm-hmm. beneficial to the airport.
Oh, yeah, and we were really excited. We had some really new things come in this year, some model planes to be on display mm-hmm. with the partnership that we're making right. through that event, and a lot of pilots. It looked like we were going to have to fly. The college was helping us with recruitment. So mm-hmm. when we get back on board, we'll be ready. Right. It'll be nice.
Because that's one way we can look at it is more time to prepare, right?
Yes.
Very good. We will continue. with item nine.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'll move.
Second.
Councilmember Bass?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Number nine, Paul.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's the second item this evening concerning the COVID-19 pandemic. This is pertaining to the Federal Emergency Management Agency assistance that was made available when the president declared California as part of the COVID pandemic. And it was a major declaration for the state of California, which allows the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act funds to be available to local government entities. And so in accordance with this Stafford Act, eligible emergency protective measures taken to respond to the pandemic, such as the purchase of our personal protective equipment, of our chemicals that we're using to disinfect our equipment and our facilities, those sorts of expenditures, which has been significant for the city. At the time of this writing, it was just in excess of $10,000, but I just signed checks today for the latest round of city expenditures, and there was, I want to say, at least $1,500 more. So at some point, we'll have to cut that off and submit them under this act, and then hopefully be reimbursed for that. Unfortunately, it doesn't cover staff time. It doesn't cover anything else beyond that. So it's pretty narrow funding, but like the city manager was speaking about, we are going after as many resources as possible. Unfortunately for cities, there hasn't been yet a big chunk of money that's been allocated to us yet. So that said, this designation that is attached would allow the city manager, assistant city manager, fire chief to apply for this type of funding. And actually, the way the resolution is checked here is that it would be on file, I believe, for a period of 3 years. So should we have another instance of a emergency act, whether it be for a pandemic or something else, we'd be able to apply for funding immediately. So it's not just specific to the pandemic. So with that, it's a pretty standard designation that would be approved by the council. I do apologize for the typo on one of the council members' names. Ray, I accidentally had Frank there. I'm not sure how that happened. So the corrected resolution was circulated by city clerk. I do apologize for that. So with that, I would ask your consideration and approval of the attached resolution.
And I'm going to chime in, and I guess I'm so sorry I might be doing this to everybody tonight. But for the sake of the listening public and the council, I want to be very clear that this is not the CARES Act stimulus monies that were allocated. Only cities of 500,000 and above are receiving money for that. Mm-hmm. So when we see that City of Fresno is going to be receiving money, none of the cities in Fresno County other than Fresno are eligible for those dollars. Mm. This is just FEMA assistance for all sorts of different emergencies, and the pandemic now counts as one of those. Again, the max we believe is $10,000, which is, I'll not give the opinion, but I wanted to make sure that you knew this was not the CARES Act funding, this is not the stimulus funding, nor is it any of the tax credit dollars, et cetera.
So I have a question. So how do they determine how many dollars each city gets? Is it by how many people are here, or just by how much we've spent?
We're going to apply so our plan is to put in as much of eligible expenditures as possible and see what they tell us. So essentially, we're going to apply for as much as possible. We believe that it's somewhere around $10,000 based on discussions with other public entities, but it could be more. I think it kind of depends on how many apply and how they allocate the funds. So to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure, but we think it's around $10,000.
Okay. So what we've seen happen over the course of the past 4 to 6 weeks is that most funding allocations have been based on population. Mm. They've not been based on number of cases or anything like that, but on population size. So.
Yeah.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah.
That was going to be one of my questions, how it affects us. When I read somewhere about the 500,000, so you answered my question. And there's another typo. I just noticed on my last name. Just for the record.
Okay.
Oh, it's P-I-N-O-N, yeah.
Very good.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Very good. Any questions from the public? Yes, it's your time, you can call in.
And as Sylvia hits that button, I will remind the public that the number is 637-4200, extension 290.
Very good. Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
A second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fignon?
Yes. Move on to item 10. Community service. Sarah Reed.
Yes, good evening again. The city received a request from River City Theater Company Board of Directors to waive their rent for the months of April and May. This request comes due to the financial impact caused to them by the COVID-19. Because of the limitations put on group sizes to gather and the shelter-in-place ordered issued by the governor, River City Theater Company has been unable to hold events and scheduled rentals in the Opera House. This impact will be seen past these 2 months as they are unable to do auditions for their summer show. So their monthly rent is $1,000. If approved, this will impact the revenue for the Opera House by $2,000. And so staff is recommending the approval from the request of River City Theater Company to waive the rent payment for the months of April and May.
Any questions from the council?
I have no problem with that. I think it's a great way to help them out. Yes.
I concur with his comments. I think it's important that we are part of a team and they're a part of our city team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way that we can give a little bit of grace for the work that they're doing there, because I know they're struggling right now too,
mm-hmm.
as are many of our businesses in town.
One thing I did confirm, and to my knowledge, I couldn't remember them ever missing a rent payment. So I just called to make sure there was nothing in the file, and they haven't. And I think that says a lot, that they've been able to kind of weather the storms and really have just come to us at a time that they feel is the most crucial to them to be able to survive. So I did want to share that because I think that's an important,
yes.
important part.
I also agree. I think we need to do something, especially, you know, they change, transform people's lives, kids' lives, mm-hmm. and anything having to do with youngsters and people, I'm for it, so I agree. Any other questions from the council? Very good. Any questions from the public?
As we're waiting on that 60-second delay for our listening public, there is a delay between the live meeting and the streaming service. The number to call in if you wish to provide public comment is 637-4200, extension 290.
some of the financial reports that's given to us from the Opera House. It's pretty amazing the amount of individuals that they attract to those plays, which is great. And it's been a plus for the city.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was good timing with their report being due. Exactly. So it's kind of nice to get an update on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pinheiro?
Yes. Item 11, receive, review, and file the quarterly investment report for third quarter ending March 31st, 2020, for fiscal year 2019-20.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
I know this is just a receive, review, and file, but I just wanted to note that our earnings for this last quarter were about $239,000. And for the same period last year was about $519,000. So almost double what we earned this quarter. And if any of you have looked at the stock market, you know where that's going. And it very much concerns me from a personal perspective, as well as sitting here as a council person to our city. So I think this is something we need to really be careful in watching this next 6 to 9 months, and probably for this next fiscal year, too.
Thank you. Motion? We did a motion? Motion to approve? Motion? Oh, that's right. 12, Ridley River City Theater Company. Profit and loss statement for the period of November 2019, March 2020, and activity report for the period of October 1st, 2019, December 2019. Sarah Reed, we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just receiving.
Excuse me. Very good. We move on to council reports. Council Member Salino.
I have none.
Council Member Betancourt. Mayor Pro Tem.
Me?
Fast.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say thank you, Russ, and your Rails to Trails, Tom and his crew out there. It looks great. I think it's looking better this year than it ever has in the past as far as weeding abatement and keeping that stuff down. And just a comment that we're out there almost every day walking the trail, and a lot of people are using that trail in the morning, probably not middle of the day, but then in the evening. As I was coming today, I had to stop to let people go through. So since our schools are locked up, I think it's really important that our city keeps those open spaces for people to use. And in that realm, I'm wondering when the parks will possibly be open and the restrooms. So that's a question I have. Then a couple other comments. I attended I'm the chairman of the Kings Basin Water Authority meeting on April the 15th, and we had that by Zoom. So that was a new experience for me. Stretching. I'm thankful I have a husband that knows how to do all that guru stuff. So anyway, we survived. We had a lot of long discussion. There's a McMullen Groundwater Sustainability Agency that had applied to become a full member status. And we started at 9:30, and about 1:30, we almost were done. So after much discussion, that item was not approved by our board. We did, however, approve the Kings Basin Water Authority annual report from October 18 to September 2019. And just a comment, probably Russ, for you again, is the CV salts. They talked a little bit about that in their report. And as our city is a permit holder for that, we have to join a management zone, and you probably know all this already, but I'm just passing it on if you don't. And for our cities, they said that the Water Quality Coalition will be the one that will take the lead on that group. So that's all I had for the Kings Basin Water Authority. Just talking about COVID, the biggest question that I'm being asked is, when can businesses reopen? I know that many of them have items for sale, just like Target and Walmart, and Target and Walmart are open. So I'm just a couple of thoughts. I'm very concerned about our economy here in Reedley. I think it's real important that we consider the science evidence we have learned in the last 2 months. I know this is new to all of us, from the president on down to Nicole and our staff here. But most important, I think it is to look at our Valley stats and not at New York City stats. I think the country is being unfairly burdened because New York City has had a real emergency, and it's scary to me to think that that could happen in my United States. So with careful guidance, I'm hoping that we can reopen our city soon. And one last thing, about a week and a half ago, I received a letter in the mail. It came here to the city, but it didn't have a signature on it. So I just wanted to say that I was disappointed that there was no signature, and so I did not read the letter. But if you wrote this letter and you want to discuss it with me, my number is 637-4200, extension 212. And if you would call and set up a time that I can give you a call back, and we can talk about what your concerns are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, this evening I heard stats that we are at a 1 million mark of cases of deaths from COVID-19, and that is staggering. I mean, I can't fathom that, but that's reality. And you know, with your question, when will we open the stores? You know, yes, that's the most asked question from folks myself. But I think about, you know, what this virus is doing to people and to the economy and to every one of us. It's a difficult thing. Much prayer and much wisdom and discernment needs to be placed forth in beating this, and that's the only way we're going to win and overcome this, is that we use wisdom and not allow it to overcome us. Very good. Council Member Beck.
I don't have anything except for stay home.
Yes. Very good. Thank you. I as well have nothing, so we pass it on to
Okay. I do have several things, and let me start by commenting on the anonymous memo that came through the mail that you all received, I received. As you know, it is our city's practice and policy not to respond or not to do anything with anonymous correspondence unless it has something to do with public health and safety that needs an investigation. This particular memo had to do with budget ideas. I guess I would say I'm disappointed. Whoever wrote it put a lot of effort, a lot of passion into it. A lot of innovative thinking. I'm disappointed because I would love to be able to sit with that person and explain to them some of the nuance of the law that doesn't get translated well in documents. And so some of the items that they had discussed in this anonymous memo, we simply cannot do, or there's reasons why we would not do. And so it's disappointing that I can't reach out and really talk to this person who obviously has a passion for Reedley as well. So as you know, I drafted a memo back to you so that some of those points could be addressed. One of the points that I was struck by was the, and you probably all didn't read it because it was anonymous, and we do have this policy of not responding to anonymous items, but to have an advisory council for the budget, and I'm struck by that because we do no less than 4 public meetings on the budget, and we never get members of the public coming, and we advertise it in our newsletter, and we do a call out on Blackboard Connect, and we do all sorts of things to try to engage our public. And so for this person to anonymously say we needed an advisory committee for the budget, I thought it rang hollow to me. Just as Ms. Fass said, I would really love, if this person is listening, for them to contact me. Their memo said they were afraid of retribution. I don't understand why they would be afraid of that when they just have some awesome budget ideas. So anyways, there is a memo in your boxes, if you've not yet received it, that addresses this memo, because this memo was so long and so intense, I did want to address it in memo format to you.
You know, for years, what we've done, we've encouraged people to come and attend the council meetings. This place should be full of people from the city, because we deal with the issues that concerns them, and it benefits them. And if they have some concerns, they can ask questions. But they can learn about what it takes to run a city, why we can do things and why we can't do things.
Yeah, exactly. There were a lot of things in that memo that we simply cannot, things dealing with some negotiations and union issues,
right,
that we simply cannot do. And I will give you a for instance that's very, so if we have members of the listening public, part of this memo said there was a table with $1.4 million in expenses they could save us. Many of those items, and particularly all of the big ticket items, were grant funded items. So that doesn't come out of our general fund. Those are simply projects we wouldn't get done if we didn't accept those grants. And so that's what I would love to educate this person on. However, we don't have that opportunity because they did not provide a name and an address. And I will say that in the state of California, in it's very pressing that the public's work be done in public form and in a public forum. And so that is why when we have our public meetings, it is completely open to the public. The public is encouraged to attend. And in fact, when we do public comment period, the state even recommends getting somebody's name and, if they would have provided, address for the record, because everything is to be done very transparently when the public's business is being transacted. And that is why we do not, as a policy, respond to anonymous items or do something with anonymous items unless they are just critical in nature for investigation. So that was the first item. Moving on, I want to let you know that we are working with KCUSD on some banners to recognize the high school seniors. Mm-hmm. So I know that has come up, and in social media there's been a lot of talk about that. We kept it sort of quiet while we were figuring out what we could do, but we're working through that. And so I know members of the public are sort of seeing other cities do something with their light pole banners. We're working with KCUSD to do something too. So the public will soon be seeing something. So now we move on to COVID-related things that I wanted to start with a very positive, and that is Reedley made the front page above the fold of the Business Journal for Saving Main Street in businesses supporting other businesses and then the city supporting businesses, and just how our community is doing yeoman's work in trying to keep our businesses afloat. The article is awesome. Angie from Main Street did an incredible job. Her daughter is doing an incredible job as well. So we did make a copy of that for you in all your boxes, but how awesome to be called out in the entire county as a community that's trying to do it right. So let me start with that positive and unfortunately move to some negatives from there. So the biggest question of the day for all of us is, when will businesses be able to reopen? And what I've been explaining to businesses when they call in is there are layers of government in California, and the executive order from the governor prevails. That is the top order that we must follow. From there, the Fresno County Health Officer issues an order that we must follow. And from there, local government, a city, can issue an order. Now, we did not issue a local order to close down business. So what we have to wait for are those two orders above us to be lifted. And really what I would say is we're waiting for the governor to lift the order, because Fresno County has been coordinating with us very closely. So we know as soon as the governor lifts that order, Fresno County is going to lift the order. So we have to wait for the governor. We are on a daily conference call briefing with the governor's office, and every day we get new updates. Today's update was that he wanted to assure folks that we're talking a simple matter of weeks, not months, before reopening can occur. And what the staff of the governor's office is doing is coming up with what he called sector plans for reopening, meaning each sector of the economy or each type of business is going to have a requirement put in place in order to safely reopen. So for instance, barbershops and salons as a sector will have a specific set of requirements they would need to follow. restaurants would have a specific set of requirements to follow. They're putting those plans together now, and that's obviously something that the city and the chamber will help disseminate to businesses, but it'll come from the state. And frankly, I know that our businesses are getting antsy. I know that our public's getting antsy. One of the very tragic things we learned in our weekly conference call with the public health officer of the county, because we are also in weekly public health officer calls, is that last week alone, our county had 7 suicides. In general, on average for an entire month, we have roughly 10. So what we saw in 1 week almost meets what we see in an entire month. And in fact, we have had only 7 fatalities for the virus since the entire time it's been tracked. And so we saw more suicides in 1 week than we have seen entirely in our county for the virus, which means the balance point has tipped.
Yep.
So that was something extraordinarily tragic. I will tell you that on our end, from a city perspective, we have been trying to reach out and connect people, particularly our seniors. And so if you've not seen what Jody Botello and Sarah and her staff have been doing in terms of trying to connect with seniors, we're delivering hot meals to seniors. We're delivering care packages to seniors. We're engaging them, teaching them how to use social media so that they can do, Jody just got an award for this, doing a how to make salsa class online, social media, just trying to engage with them, doing fun stuff. And it's not just seniors. We're doing enrichment programming for children. So how to do certain things, how to make Play-Doh was one we just did. Just some incredible ways to engage the public and keep them connected to us. In that regard, I mentioned seniors and the fact that we're delivering meals. We're delivering meals to those who used to come to the center. They're called the congregant meals. That we also are delivering meals to folks who weren't part of that program. So if we learn about a senior who is in need, we will hook up meal delivery either through a church or through the city or through somebody. There was a program just released you may have heard about where local restaurants can connect with local government and seniors can get meals from restaurants. I want to let you know that we have looked into this, and what's interesting to me is the criteria for seniors that are eligible for this program is very narrow, and the criteria for restaurants that they must follow in terms of nutritional guidelines, certification on safety, you name it, is very strict. And as I looked at what we're currently doing and who we're currently serving, if you're a senior in this community, we don't ask your income eligibility. We have not asked why you don't get meals. We haven't asked anything like that. We are just going to hook you up with meals. So I don't believe this is a program that we should spend our energy and effort trying to get. It is very complex, and it only goes through May 10th. So right now I can say that if you know of a senior who isn't being fed, you let me know, you let Sarah know, and we're going to get them fed. So there's that. And there's a lot. I'm sorry, there is a lot because the virus is all-encompassing right now. So let me continue to say, there was some news that CDBG funding came into the county and to each CDBG-eligible city. As you know, we get CDBG funding each year. It's based on an allocation, a formula allocation. For the COVID-19, there was a special sleeve of CDBG monies available. And for Reedley, that looked like $142,000. However, we can only use it for items related to virus, and we can only use it in CDBG eligible areas, which, as you know, for the city is very unique because it goes essentially block by block, and one block might have it and the next block up might not. And so all cities within Fresno County are having some serious problems in figuring out, this is a lot of money we could get, but how do we use it, because the criteria is so narrow and the population we can serve is so narrow. And so what we've been talking about is actually doing this on a more regional approach. And so there's two sleeves of this funding that we're talking about from a regional approach. One is for homelessness. And in fact, a pot of CDBG money, and particularly the counties, will be spent in housing some homeless folk, and includes homeless from every city in the county. So Sanger, Selma, Reedley homeless folk would be housed. What they're doing is buying up hotel rooms in Selma. And so if Reedley homeless folk want to be housed, they are eligible for staying in a hotel room in Selma. We know that all of our homeless individuals have been approached by either PD or by our homeless service providers. They do not want housing at this point because they don't want to have to go up to Fresno. They don't want to have to leave their pets, or they simply don't care and they don't want to leave. So we have approached our homeless encampments since this started to see if we can get them into emergency housing? And the answer has been resoundingly no. That might change if they only have to go over to Selma rather than up to Fresno or Clovis. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do another round of contact. But I want to let you know one sleeve of that CDBG funding will be for homelessness. The other sleeve, the city managers got together and talked about what we could do from a regional perspective. And we're talking about potentially doing rural testing centers. We know we have a lot of agricultural workers. We know we had a lot of low-income individuals who don't have medical insurance, don't feel like they can go to a hospital if they're sick. We want to make sure they have access to testing. And so we're talking about doing some of these rural testing centers and using the CDBG funds for that. And if we do that, then we don't have to do, you know, testing income requirements and all that. It can just be open. Okay. So the other caveat to this is the timing was so quick from the federal government that we actually had to have an answer to the county this week, which didn't give us much time. So the city managers were working on this. So if you do have an issue with that use of funding, let me know immediately, so that I can get with the county and say Reedley might not be on board, but I think this is a good thing for how to use this funding.
Mm-hmm. So I can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So where could someone get tested for COVID-19 in Reedley?
So right now Adventist Hospital is testing, and right now they have what's called a Abbott machine. So they can get results within 8 minutes now. It's phenomenal. The amount of technology and innovation that has occurred within the last 4 weeks has been phenomenal. This Abbott machine, the biggest issue is the testing supplies. So they are only testing those that really appear to have it. If you want to find out if you had it at one time and you have antibodies, there actually is a testing center for that, and you can go into Visalia. Those testing centers are starting to occur and branch out and will soon be in Fresno. Right now, there is one down in Visalia. We know for testing of the virus, because you're ill, you can go to any hospital. You can also go to several urgent care centers that are in the Fresno metro area. But again, if you feel like you have the virus, you can go to the Reedley Hospital here and get tested.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So just a couple more things I want to mention to you. One is that there are a flurry of laws up the state regarding the COVID-19, and the one that we are watching the closest, or I should say the two or three we're watching the closest right now because they all deal with the same thing, is that there would be a presumption made for workers' compensation that if an employee or somebody gets the virus, that it was acquired in the course of their employment. And what a workers' comp presumption is means that the employer actually has to fight and say it wasn't in the course of employment rather than that it was. So for the city itself, this really won't impact us too much because we do have health benefits. If somebody gets sick, they can have some time off, etc. What this really does is helps grocery workers, truckers, people like that who, if they're not working, they're not earning money and they may need workers' compensation. So they are looking at those presumptions up at the state. Mm-hmm. The governor hasn't indicated whether he would support that or not, but we're watching that. Again, I don't think for Reedley there'd be a specific impact, but certainly for smaller employers, private sector employers, there will be a dramatic impact. And some businesses are very frightened because they're not aware if they could make that bill if it happens. Mm-hmm. So we're watching that. There's good news from the federal government in that when this all started, the federal government came out with a brand new set of leave criteria called the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, FFCRA, which provided several weeks of leave if you got the virus or if you were in the sensitive population or if you had to be off because your child care got shut down. We actually have several employees who are on this leave right now. Private sector employers are eligible for tax credits for that expense. Public sector employers are not. So we don't get the tax credits that private sector employers get. The federal government this week said they're looking at a bill that would then allow public sector employers to get the same tax credit. So I want to let you know we're watching that one closely as well. And I believe that's all for the virus-related items right now. But as you know, we're in the office every single day. All of our staff are working hard. Some are working from home. Some are working in the office. So if you have any questions whatsoever, if the public has any questions whatsoever, they can call us.
So I have one more question. Mm-hmm. You talked about different regulations for beauty salons, gyms, whatever. Mm-hmm. So is the governor making those rules, or is our Congress?
The state bureaucrat, so the governor's office and the health officer for the state, are coming up with those. There's actually a task force that are coming up with those. The task force has different representatives from those different business sectors that are helping guide that conversation. And then cities can come up with their own as long as they are more restrictive and not less restrictive. So we see, for instance, I was joking before the meeting started, not joking, that the city of Chico has a barbershop that opened because that he came up with his own set of guidelines and requirements and restrictions, and he's following those, and he has opened. The governor's order is very specific that he cannot be open. The city has not shut him down and hasn't indicated that they're going to shut him down. But you can't just come up with your own set of requirements. These will come from the state and then only get more strict as it trickles down into the layers of government. Here in Reedley, we have really set a policy that we're following the state's guidelines, not trying to make things more restrictive for our businesses. Sure. So we will follow the state guidelines here. All right, that was a lot, but I do still want to ask if staff has anything to...
Okay, just a few announcements. I'll be brief. So we're coming up to our budget rollout that we do, our annual budget rollout. It's been a little bit more of a challenging year because of sort of the ground changing underneath us as we're trying to land the plane right now with our budget. But we feel like we have a good plan going forward. So May 12th will be our budget rollout. It'll be at the regular meeting. We're going to... attempt to change it up just a little bit this year to have maybe one less meeting to be more cognizant of your own time at this time, and then also to limit the amount of times that we're getting together as a group. So we're looking at May 12th for the budget rollout and doing that as a special meeting at 6 p.m. Sylvia will be sending out more information to you about this, but the budget rollout will be at 6 p.m. And we're going to try to do a couple departmental presentations after the budget rollout that evening. And then having one special meeting on May 19th, also at 6 p.m., and doing another group of the city department presentations to you. And then on May 26th at the regular council meeting, also at 6 p.m., doing the final batch of departmental presentations. There's still plenty of room in the calendar to have additional workshops if necessary, if the council feels it's necessary or if we don't get through them all. But that would be three meetings as opposed to four this year, all meetings starting at 6 p.m. And then the plan at this point, unless the council wants to skip, would be to serve dinner at those special meetings because it is starting earlier. Doing it a little bit differently this time where everything's specifically packaged instead of family-style meals. And then as a final announcement, within the next week or two, we're planning on unveiling our new city website. This was a project that was approved by the council last year's budget or this current year's budget, and we've been working pretty hard on it this last couple of months. And so we're doing the final tweaks to it right now. We should be a lot more clear to the public, easier to use. And for the first time ever, it will be optimized for use on your mobile device. So many people are, this is how they connect with us. And so our website will be able to do that. So that'll be in the next couple of weeks. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
All right, I believe that's all, Mayor.
That means our meeting is over. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Mayor.
Be safe.